Morning to you all. It is cold, I know, but we are being warmed by the new air conditioners. And that's good. Hey, another good thing, Marty came back for another week. How about that? For those people who don't know, Marty is our, what do you call it? Supply minister. In other words, a person who's giving us a little bit of a break instead of, we don't have to run the services just ourselves. And Marty is helping us with guidance and direction. Some people need more guidance and direction than others. Let's sing. Here I am to worship. And we've got Chloe here today. And we've got Sally. And I'm down here because I want to be near the piano player. Because she's hot. I can't remember everybody's laughing at that. That's a terrible thing. I'm sorry. It's her fault. She said yes when I asked her a million years ago, and she said yes. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Oh, dear. She told me to be sensible. Fail. Here I am to worship. Right. Okay, stay standing. Let's sing King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, you've got to stand up for that. Now we're going to sing King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to sing it as a round, which means whatever you're singing is going to work, because it is being led by such an amazing piano player. I'm groveling here. I'm groveling here to get lunch today. Lunch today is already in the crock pot, in the hot. One of the things, just here's an aside. One of the things about a slow cooker for lunch is that if it has to go on during the night or something like that, and I wake and I can smell lunch when I'm having Weet-Bix. It is amazingly mixing up thing for my poor brain. Oh dear. Let's sing King of Kings. I know there's some bread there, that's okay. Let's sing. What was the intro? I can't remember. Oh, that's it. And here we go.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory. Ooh. Hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory. Hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory. Hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory. Hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory.
Everybody.
Hallelujah.
And again.
Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory.
Fantastic. You're amazing. You can sit down now. That's good. Whew. What's that? Your song. Okay. A little bit of an intro, an extra information about our church. We are a church where things happen, and Friday Friends is on again this Friday. Pop in and have a church and a cuppa, something to eat, and there are a few extra things this Friday, special things. Next Sunday, hey, did you see that sign up there that said preacher next week, Reverend David Pryor? Now, no, nothing against you, Marty, but that was a nice thing to see up there. So next Sunday, our service, it's a chance to say a huge thanks to Reverend David Pryor. He's resigned, and the service next week is the finish of his ministry here at the Vines. But it's our hope that it will not be the last time he attends, because if you're a friend, he's a friend, and if you're a friend, friends are welcome anytime, but not for lunch at my place today because there's not enough. friends are welcome anytime. It will be cafe style church, with the hope that you will feel the need to stay and chat and enjoy the company. There is a list in the foyer for food to bring, finger food for that in the cafe style church and in the time afterwards. Sadly, the sad news is that our own Ralph Clark passed away this week. Keep an eye on the grapevine for more details. It will be that the funeral will be here on the 7th, Tuesday the 7th, and Shirley James will be officiating 1:30. You don't have to keep your eye on the newsletter on the grapevine. I was looking up yesterday. Ralph's details are on the memorial. That's sort of at the top of Chandler's Hill Road, where you spin off to go around to Clarendon, turn left to Clarendon, or you keep on going over to Bishop's Hill Road. There's a memorial there, and it's got his name there. So how about that? So you can drive past when you're driving on the way to or from, and just think about Ralph. And that leads us perfectly into our special remembrance for Anzac Day that we'll have towards the end of the service, and we are featuring Mary Provis's banner, which is actually given to David, but he doesn't know that we're using it unless he's on the unless he's online. But that's a beautiful banner, and we wanted to feature that. Okay, Chloe, put the microphone down. I need you down here. Sam, do you want to come over? Now I've got to know where to stand, otherwise I get in deep trouble. Now I'll come back. So Anzac Day. You know Anzac Day? It's this Thursday. It's got five letters, A-N-Z-A-C. Do you know what they mean? Can anybody tell me? Australian and New Zealand Army Corps. Right? Corps meaning a bunch of amazing people. Right? Anzac. And that's what's it called? An acronym. acronym. When you've got talking about PIN numbers, PIN for PIN numbers that you've got to pop into the thing, that's an acronym, means personal identification number. Scuba, when a person's doing scuba diving. Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, scuba. All of these things, there won't be a test afterwards, don't worry. But that's what an acronym is. Sometimes you do the other way with an acronym and you come up with your own name. You might have done this at school, where you've got to write down your name and you've got to come up with K-L-O-E or S-A-M, things that are amazing about acrostic poem, that's right. Like, I've got one for Rob. Really amazing bloke. Really amazing. You got that? Don't spell amazing with an O, otherwise your teacher is going to give you 9 out of 10. So, when we talk about the Anzacs, we're talking about people doing things for other people. Last time we talked about at Easter, we talked about a bucket that other people can help fill, your bucket that other people can help fill. Chloe helped fill my bucket today because she said she would write a prayer for us to pray before we always gather out in the library, and a lovely thing that Chloe said she would do was that she would write a prayer for us, for everybody, so that was helping to fill my bucket. People doing things just because they want to do stuff. Okay? That's a bit like what war is like, where people are doing things sort of because they're told, but they want to do stuff. And it's a little rule. I wish David was here and could explain more to people, but he's not, so we have to go with our own explanation. We will have a special remembrance at the end of the service. Chloe. We don't know. We are all wondering about David's dodgy drawings. Chloe's question is, will there be Dave's dodgy drawings next week? Did you broach that topic with him, Marge, or not?
His hands are still...
His hands aren't well, okay. So, Dave's dodgy drawings might have to be done by Chloe's clever creations. So if we ask him on Sunday, we might put the whiteboard over there, and while he's talking, we might have a Chloe's, what did I say? Clever creations, okay? We'll see. I'll let you know. Okay? Okay. So, that's what acrostic poems, that's what acronyms are, that's what Anzac's, a little bit of what Anzac's about. Let us just sing verse 1 and the chorus of Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, as a song for us to remember. It is special at this time of the year when we're thinking about all of those little things. You can go and play over there, Sam, and we will sing Jesus Loves Me. Let's sing. Now, Chloe's going to sing it on her own, first verse, and we're just going to sing the verse and chorus. Ready?
Jesus loves me, this I know.
And everybody sing.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
That was incredible. Can you rewind that and play it again, please? All the whole thing. That was amazing. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Just singing.
Do it again. Can I sing with you?
No.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to
sing it,
yes, Jesus loves.
worth doing it the second time. Your singing the second time was amazing. Thank you, Sharon.
Good morning, everybody. Today's reading is John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Jesus and Thomas. But Thomas, who was called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The purpose of this book. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sharon. We're going to sit and sing, "Be Still and Know That I Am God."
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Now, please join me now in our prayers of intercession. We give thanks and praise to God for his many blessings, for the air we breathe, for the country we live in, for the food that nourishes us, for our families and friends who always look out for us, and for so much more. But Lord, today, like many others both here and around the world, we are saddened and dumbfounded by the completely random attacks on innocent shoppers at Bondi Westfield last week. You go to a shopping centre to have coffee, meet with friends, see a movie maybe. Suddenly, and literally, all hell breaks loose. A baby's mother dies, shopgoers scatter, and acts of heroism occur. Lord, we bring before you the victims' families and those who courageously put their lives on the line, especially the young policewoman who brought down the attacker. She has most probably never been called upon to make such a decision before, and we pray she never will again. A mere 2 days later, a bishop and churchgoers at a Western Sydney church were stabbed during the service by a teenager in what is believed to have been a terrorist attack. It's almost impossible to comprehend such things happening in our own country. We pray they may all know your presence is with them and that you are their strength and salvation. We pray for the needs of the wider world, for those who face division, hostility, and war. Far from peace, the conflict in the Middle East is escalating daily, and the war in the Ukraine drags on. We see oppression and injustice everywhere, and we are overwhelmed. Please bring an end to their suffering and resolution to their difficulties. We pray for our leaders and those in positions of authority, both here and across the world, and ask that you grant them wisdom, discernment, and courage as they make decisions which affect the lives of others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask your blessing and peace on those who have recently lost loved ones or who are dealing with illness on a daily basis, and for those suffering family upheaval of any kind, for those who are homeless, estranged from their families, or trying to find employment. We bring all those on our hearts and minds before you now. Lord, we pray also for the victims of the recent earthquakes in Taiwan and the floods on our own eastern coasts, and for all those who give their time, support, and effort to those in need as they work tirelessly in the aftermath of these natural disasters. As we look to the future here at the Vines and the placement of a permanent minister, we ask your blessing on our new supply minister, Reverend Marty Rosenberg, and on all those involved in leadership or other chosen ministries. Lord, we pray for quiet times to be at one with you, to find peace in chaos and calmness in despair. Help us to remember we are not alone, that you walk beside us, and that we can rely on your promise to be with us always. In doing so, may we find light and hope and peace. Amen. Please join me now in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pam. Let us sing again. Have faith in God. As that finishes, the offering will be brought forward, and Marty can say a blessing over that. And then he will lead us in his thoughts for today, which about Thomas is always tricky. Standing up. Here we go.
Given to each of us, including our own money. And Lord, we acknowledge that that is a gift from you. And now we give back to you just a fraction of that and ask that you would bless these and multiply these gifts for your service in the kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, please take a seat. Before I start, let's pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, come amongst us. Fill our hearts with an enthusiasm and an anticipation of hearing your word today, and open our ears to hear that word, and open my mouth to speak it out faithfully in Jesus' name. Amen. Thomas, poor old Thomas. We're going to talk about him in a little while, but before we do, I want to tell you a story about what happened about this time of year, a number of years ago, around Easter time. My family helped move Naomi, that's my wife, her mother, out of her one-bedroom unit in Manham down to a nursing home in near Stirling, where we were living at the time. Now, I know a number of you have, probably all of you, have been through this process. And, well, I thought this wouldn't be too hard. It was a one-bedroom unit and shouldn't be too much stuff in there. Yes, you got it in one. Well, the first day, we took all the basics, documents, some of the clothing and whatever else we could fit into two cars. And that was fine, but there was a lot left. So next day, we took a big trailer back. And my son just happened to have a day off, didn't he? Well, he was used for the day and he came up with me. And so we had two of us to load the washing machine and the clothes dryer and bedding and chairs and tables all into this trailer. And it was getting fuller and fuller, and I was thinking, we're not going to fit all this stuff in. But I didn't want to say anything to Luke, that's my son, didn't want to say anything and sound like a grumpy old father who didn't believe that it was going to work. And anyway, it was bursting at the seams, and by the time, you know, towards the end of the day, I couldn't hold myself back and said, Luke, it is not going to fit. Let's not try too hard. I'll come back tomorrow and get the rest of the stuff. Well, was I told. Dad, I'm an engineer. Engineers solve problems. I'm going to solve this problem. So I thought, oh, okay. So I stood back and watched him weave the legs of the chairs and the tables in between each other and the mattresses between furniture so it wouldn't scratch, and the pile was getting higher and higher, and blow me down, at the end of the session, I was watched, he actually fitted it all in. And I thought, why did I ever doubt my son? Well, the whole incident actually made me realise that there are actually different types of doubts that we all have at different times. And there are different strengths of doubt, or different amounts of doubt that we have in different situations. But I'll come back to that in a minute and explain what I'm talking about. One thing about doubt that I've learned is that doubt is not the opposite of faith. They actually belong together on a continuum. If we have more faith, we have less doubt. If we have more doubt, we have less faith. I mean, if we have a reasonably strong faith, but quite a bit of doubt, then it might look something like this on a scale, maybe a 60-40 split. I believe something, say 60%, but I've got a whole lot of doubt, probably 40%. But if I had a really strong faith about something, it might look like this. I have 90% faith and just a little bit of doubt. Or on the other side of the scale, it might be I have a whole lot of doubt about something and just an inkling that, yeah, maybe it is right, and it's just that little bit of faith. So what I'm saying is that in the arena of belief, you cannot have faith without doubt. If you have 100% faith, then you're talking in the area of knowledge. It's a whole different ballgame. We're talking about faith. If there's a little bit of doubt, we are talking the arena of faith. So if that's the case, here's an important thing. Doubt is not a sin. So I don't have to feel guilty about those big doubts that I might have about a particular thing. But having said that, we are called to grow in our faith and to lessen our doubts. Now, there's a whole lot more to this than just a general thing of having a general faith. There are so many different specific aspects of our Christian faith that we believe in within the faith. I mean, how much do we believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days as we know it? There are a whole lot of different opinions about that, and there are a whole lot of people with different amounts of faith and a whole lot of with different amounts of doubt that happened in that 6 days, or within 6 million or whatever the figure is, years. And then there's the beliefs about the other end of history, at the end times. And I won't go into all the possibilities there, but there's a whole myriad of them. But again, there's a whole lot of doubt and a whole lot of faith about particular aspects of that. And there are many other aspects of the Christian faith where there are different strengths of faith about what we believe. I mean, all the miracles that are spoken about in the scriptures, do we believe them all 99.9%? Or is there an amount of doubt about some of them? Maybe all of them. And this includes a miracle about Jesus' resurrection. Where do you fit on this scale about believing that Jesus actually rose from the dead? It's one of the crucial factors in our Christian faith. Okay, back to the packing of the furniture into the trailer back up at Manham. I realised after this episode that if I had done more packing of trailers with Luke, I would have had less doubt that he could have done what he did. So I also learned from this event that the amount of doubt that we often have about something is very much dependent on our experience. We doubt less after we've done something a whole lot of times over, and we have a lot more confidence about that particular issue. It's like driving on the road. I followed a P-plater the other day, and he just wasn't sure what lane he was supposed to be in at the time, and I thought, you are really raw, aren't you? And this is special for me because I've got one granddaughter who's just got a licence and another grandson who's on his L's at the present time. So I'm looking out for these guys and keeping clear. Oh, I mean, didn't say that. But do you remember the times when you were first starting to drive? How much faith did you have that you could keep your car, or sorry, parents' car, in the correct lane? And how much faith did you have that that big truck coming around the corner was going to stay in his lane and not run straight into you? Do you remember those thoughts? But now we relax on the road. We assume that truck's going to come around. We have more faith that's going to happen and that he's not going to run into us. And our faith increases the more we get on the road and we learn to relax. Now, John said this. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. When we hear about miracles, when we see them ourselves, even those little ones, those what we call coincidences, I like to call them little miracles. When God actually intervenes in a situation to make things better for us. Or he draws our attention to something that we normally wouldn't notice. And because our attention is drawn to that, it makes a difference to what's happening around us. When we're consciously doing that, consciously aware that God is actually bringing things to our attention, the fact that he's actually creating these coincidences, our faith can grow and our doubts can lessen. Back to Manham. When we were cleaning the place up, we stopped for lunch. I went down to the local takeaway, got some lunch for everybody, and as I was walking back to the car, I noticed out the corner of my eye this open doorway and a lady was sweeping, and I noticed behind her was racks of clothing and some furniture, and I realised, oh, it's a second-hand shop. Got talking with the lady and I said, "Now, do you take clothes and furniture that we wouldn't need?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes to both of those." And so I said, "Well, I can't do it today, but tomorrow, can I bring some stuff down?" And she said, "Yeah, but I won't be here, but you can leave it in this laneway behind the shop." So next day, we had an extra half a trailer of stuff, put it down there, and the place was finished. And I thought, "Thank you, Lord, for drawing my attention to this little doorway, which I would have normally walked straight past." It's just a little reminder that God is present with us and with me all the time, just in the little things. And that's what this verse is saying. These are written so that you may continue to believe, that you may not just continue, but that you may grow in your faith. That's through reading, and that's another way, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But there's also the living out of those experiences. The more we do that, the more we can grow in our faith. That's why I want to encourage you to keep reading about God in his word regularly, so that you may continue to believe, and maybe so that you can grow in your faith and lessen those doubts. And then apply that faith to everyday life. Another thing about doubts is that doubts come and go in different circumstances. And this is where we look at Thomas. Thomas is the doubter, the patron saint of doubters. His name alone conjures up the phrase, "Doubting Thomas." But the Bible never portrays Thomas as the doubter. What it does, it talks about the moment he had some doubts. But his identity for most of us, unfortunately, lies in that situation. But did you know that Thomas is recorded elsewhere? And this is when Jesus heard about Lazarus, his good friend in Judah, in Bethany in Judah. He heard it, he was sick. And he wanted to go down there, and all his disciples were saying, "Oh, you can't do that, Jesus. They'll arrest you and they'll kill you. You cannot go down there." But it was Thomas who spoke up and said this, "Let us also go that we may die with him." They are not the words of a doubter, are they? And Peter, he was another classic when he denied Jesus three times just before his death. I mean, there would have been a real mixture of doubt and emotions and anxieties and fears. What's going to happen if they actually kill Jesus? We've been following him here, seeing these amazing things. We've given our life to him. When he goes, what's going to happen? You can feel the doubt oozing out of him at this particular time, and it revealed itself in him denying Jesus three times. But Jesus went on to, sorry, Peter went on then to do some great things in establishing the whole church. And his faith was not only affirmed and strengthened from that experience. What tipped the scales from doubt to faith was the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we might talk about that in Pentecost in a few weeks' time. But that created a boldness for Peter, and that boldness was needed to establish the church. And we are here as a result of it, as part of the church that Peter actually established. So we have a lot to be thankful for this man who at one stage was doubting and fearful and anxious about the reality of Jesus. As I said, there's a lot we could talk about in the arena of belief and faith and doubt in so many specific aspects of the Christian faith, from creation to the end times to the miracles in the Old Testament to the resurrection of Jesus. But what about some of the more current stuff, the stuff we are living in right at the present time? I mean, how much do you believe, where would you fit yourself on that scale that I had up there earlier? How much do you believe that Jesus is actually present with us every minute of every day of our life? How much do we really believe that homosexuals can fit into our church? How much do we really believe that God can forgive somebody with a really iffy past, with a police record, a pedophile? Would you welcome them into your congregation? Can you believe Jesus can change them? Next Thursday is Anzac Day, and we'll be paying a special tribute to them shortly. That's another situation where I wonder how much faith those diggers would have had that they were going to come out of this operation alive. There would have been a lot of doubt there, and all of them would have been somewhere different on that scale of faith and doubt. So we all have different beliefs about these matters, and we all have an amount of doubt about them as well. But the good news is we can live together with those different amounts of doubt and those different amounts of faith. The thing that brings us together, the thing that creates a unity amongst us, is our common faith that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what unites us, and that's the thing that we share in common. I mean, even if the faith about that is a 10% faith, we still have that in common. That's all you need. Those of you who have got just that 10% of faith, let me talk to you for a minute. That 10% of faith, that grain of mustard seeds amount of faith, has been given to you by God. And as I said, he then wants you to grow that faith more and more through various means. And he says this to you, straight from Jesus' mouth. "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible for you." What Jesus is saying here is he is the one who has actually given you that faith, as small as it is, and that is the faith that will bring you into the kingdom of God, into his family, into the church, where nothing is impossible, where God will always be with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, where the coincidences of life take on a whole new meaning, where I can live my life to the fullest, and where even the disappointments and the thorns and the doubts in my life have meaning, I may not like them, but we know there is something behind them because God is behind those thorns. And he'll take care of them in the same way that he takes care of me. Once we have that seed of faith, then, as I said before, we have a responsibility to grow it. And we know that everything that is alive grows when we look after it correctly. Like a plant that's carefully planted and watered and fertilised and nurtured, it grows into a strong bush. Muscles in our body, if we keep using them, they grow and get stronger. And so does our faith when we exercise it. It grows our faith, and our faith grows, and our doubts diminish. Let me give you some practical suggestions to finish up with about how to increase our faith and lessen our doubts by introducing a phrase to you which some of you may have heard about, but let me introduce it to you if you haven't, and that is practicing the presence of Christ. What does that mean? Well, as I said earlier, look for Jesus in every aspect of your life. And you'll be amazed at how much you discover, just how often God does some special things for you. Remember the final words in Matthew? Jesus was about to leave this earth for good, and he said this, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So part of this practicing the presence of Christ is about reading his word, because it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." And by reading God's word, we will learn God's promises that we can rely on. Talking strength, peace, boldness, eternal life. There's a list, you know, a mile long. We haven't got time to go into that list of promises. But once you start reading the word of God, you'll see those promises and you can make them more of your own. And once you get familiar with those promises from reading his word, then we can make a habit of stepping out in faith. If Jesus has promised something, he will fulfill that promise. Joshua's parting words to the Israelites just before he died, he said this, "Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed." So let me add one more thing to that promise, and that is, sorry, not to the promise, to this list of practicing the presence of Christ, and that is prayer. When we have doubts, when we need courage and strength to face a particular situation, when we need the right words at a particular time, when we feel that we're out of our depth, pray, pray, and pray. Prayer is our connection with God. It's like an umbilical cord to the Father. That sounds weird, but that's what it is. Prayer is the shrinker of so many doubts. And as those doubts shrink, so our faith grows. In Luke, we read Jesus' own words. He says, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I mean, those who ask him, that's talking about prayer. Somebody has to ask. That's what it's talking about, praying. And this is also from Jesus' own words. He says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened to them." Asking, seeking and knocking are all different aspects of prayer. There's a whole series of sermons in all of that, but you got the idea. But both of those passages are encouraging us to talk with God, asking the Father for what we need and the doors will be opened. So there's the list. Very simple, simple progression, and should be part of our everyday faith, our everyday life in Christ, as we practice the presence of Christ. It's another way of saying, and let me put it in the vernacular, because Jesus rose from the dead, get used to God being around. We can't get rid of him because he wants to be with us all the time. We can't ignore him. He won't let us. We can't kill him. They tried that and he came back to life. Can't hide from him because, as Psalm 139 says, the darkness is the same as light to God. So get used to him being around. It's actually not all that bad. Let me pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come to you now to ask that you will increase our faith in you, shrink our doubts, and draw us closer to you. Forgive us for the times when our doubts have led us to sin. Forgive us when we have ignored you and gone our own way. Forgive us when we have done the things that we should not have done, or not done the things that we should have done. We want to take you up on your offer of forgiveness for all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Lord, make us more aware of your presence everywhere, every day, and each day. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Increase our faith and our boldness to serve you and to speak out for you to our family and our friends in those opportunities that you make possible. We pray this, all of these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross was for just such a time as this. That happened so that he could say through me, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. I'd love us to sing the next song as a prayer. Guys, if you want to come up. Because it says, Jesus, please watch over us. And a lot of songs are actually prayers. And we often get caught up in the musicality of it all, but let's think about the words and ask that Jesus, please watch over us. Let's stand and sing this.
As we step from the edge of morning, feet can't tell where to take us. Here's a light that will shine forever. Here's the light that will guide us. Jesus, please watch over us. Travel comes and we
Would you sit just for a very short time? Our Anzac Day Remembrance tribute now will take the form of the ode, They Shall Grow an Ode. Ex-leading seaman Brian Fiddock will read the ode, and we will say, we will remember them lest we forget. There will be a period of silence, and we will say after that, lest we forget, and repeat the words, lest we forget. Not terribly difficult, but it doesn't matter if we don't get the right order. But there is a tradition that whilst the ode is being read, that people do stand and ladies remove their hats. No, I mean, but there is a tradition that you do stand and remove your hats and things like that. But if you can't stand, we accept that. It is a pretty long service. So, Brian, thank you. Taking note of Mary's amazing banner. And thinking of lots and lots of things. So will you stand, please?
Now, just before I read the ode, I'd like to acknowledge David Pryor's service. For those of you that didn't know, he was in the Army for quite a while as a chaplain, and he served in Afghanistan, and he's been serving ever since. He's still in... until recently, still been in the Army Reserve and is called on quite often to carry out tasks that are not that pleasant for some people, but all the challenges is met by him with no hesitation. Thanks, David. Right. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them, lest we forget. Lest we forget.
Lest we forget.
Let's receive a blessing from God. May God the Father recreate in you a faith that is strong and robust. May God the Son, through his words and actions while he was here on earth, inspire you and help you to lessen those doubts and increase that faith. And may the Holy Spirit empower and embolden you to be the person of faith God made you to be to the fullest. Amen.